This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host, Mike Drabenstadt, and I'm here with Sierra Fogle, president of Pocono Whitewater in Jim Thorpe, and an avid supporter of the outdoors. Sierra, welcome to WDIY and Active Lehigh Valley.
Thank you.
Let's start by talking about your background and experience on the water, which I believe starts with your parents.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's a family business. Pocono Whitewater is a family business that was opened 48 years ago by my dad, my uncle, and my grandfather. So they actually lived in New Jersey, and my dad had the idea of opening a whitewater rafting company. So they looked at a bunch of rivers in the area and chose the Lehigh because of its proximity to people. And it's kind of a funny story. It started with my grandmother answering the phone at the small inn that my grandparents owned. And she would say, Quaker Inn and Pocono Whitewater Rafting, how can I help you? And if anyone booked, my dad would drive to Pennsylvania here and he would take him down the river. So that was the start long before I came along. Yeah. And then I grew up in it and I started kayaking at a really young age and just really love being on the water. So I left for a few years, moved, did the corporate thing out west for a little while, and then decided I'd much rather show people how to go down the river and how to get outside and how to be enjoying the outdoors in my backyard than be working in a corporate office somewhere. So I moved back, and that was about 11 years ago now, and here I am.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So you said kayaking when you were young. How young were you out on a kayak?
There's pictures of me on the river at 2 with my dad, you know, sitting in a little inflatable kayak, and he's holding on to me, and I'm holding a paddle just for the fun of it, right? So I have my own kids now, and I may be following the same path with them. They've been on the river.
May or may not be, right?
Yeah.
Actually, Pennsylvania is a great place to have rafting, kayaking. I mean, I've heard stories, I don't know if it's apocryphal, that Pennsylvania has more miles of streams and waterways than any other state. Have you heard the same thing?
I have, yes. Pennsylvania is actually the sixth biggest outdoor recreation economy in the country, which I think is a little known fact that we really need to promote more, because we have a ton of whitewater opportunities, flat water opportunities, streams, fishing, just ways to get outside and use these amazing resources.
So since you've kind of grown up on the water, talk about what that does for you and your emotional state.
Oh, yeah. I call it my therapy. I don't need a therapist because I have the river, right? So it's just getting outside and getting to experience this really incredible gorge. So specifically, I spend most of my time on the Lehigh River, which is where our rafting company is. And it's the river that I grew up learning on and working on. And you're in the Lehigh Gorge State Park for the whitewater section of it. And there's no access. There's no cell phone reception, none of that. So you get in there and it's just you and the river and the wildlife. And I think that is just the best thing you could possibly do for mental health. And for me, it's always been my happy place that I just need to get on the water. If I'm having a stressful week or anything, I just need to get on the water and then the world is right again.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Let's talk specifically about Pocono Whitewater and some of the services you provide there.
Mm-hmm. So at Pocono Whitewater, we run two main trips. We have what we call our family style trip, which is for ages 4 or older. And that's on section 3 of the Lehigh, which starts in Jim Thorpe and goes to Bowmanstown. That part is a little more mellow. It's class 1 and 2 whitewater. We offer trips with pirates that start water gun battles. We have a picnic area where we serve a hot dog barbecue lunch. It's a really nice spot for families to get out and get to see what the Lehigh is. The other main trip that we have is called Dam Release Whitewater, and that's class 3 whitewater, so it's a step up. It's 12 miles and is through the Lehigh Gorge State Park, so it's in a very remote area. It's more continuous whitewater, and it's just a little bit more of an adrenaline-packed day. So it's still a good intro for people that maybe are looking to get into whitewater or interested in it, but it's more intense than our family style trip.
And you said class 3. How would you characterize class 3? What kind of things make it class three?
So rivers run on a scale from 1 to 6. 6 is our waterfalls, mostly unrunnable. There's some people that will run a waterfall, right? But commercially, not really. So class three is kind of right in the middle of that scale. You have rapids and waves, but you don't have anything that will hold you too long or that would be considered a class 4 or 5 where you really need to have a helmet and a guide in every raft. So class three in Pennsylvania, you can be in a raft without a guide. All of our trips are guide assisted. So we have guides and kayaks along with you that'll help you when you need it, but they're not actually in the raft with you because you're kind of right in that class three sweet spot, as we call it. Class three is just that really good whitewater starter pack.
Got it. Got it. And you mentioned the dam release. So that's from the Francis Walter? Is
that
the right?
Francis E. Walter Dam.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there are certain days that are planned for a dam release, and obviously that would allow more water to come through.
Yes. Yeah. So in the summertime, because of rain and natural flow, we can't always run that section of the river. So we only run that section when there is a dam release. And the dam release schedule is set by the dam every year. It's pretty much every other weekend in June. And then starting mid-July, it's every weekend until September.
Okay. And we were talking about the number of rivers and streams in Pennsylvania. I mean, there are other good whitewater places in Pennsylvania too, right?
Yeah, there are. You just have to go a little further away. So the best spot for whitewater close to the Lehigh Valley is the Lehigh. But we also have the Youghiogheny River out by Pittsburgh and Ohio Pile that has some great whitewater. But a little bit closer to home, your best bet just to get on the water without whitewater, I mean, you've got the Delaware and some rivers like that. But as far as whitewater goes, you're looking at the Lehigh.
Okay, got it. And then just even beyond Pennsylvania, I mean, the U.S. has incredible opportunities for whitewater rafting, kayaking. Okay. I think especially areas down south, out west, just about anywhere other than, I guess, Florida.
Yeah, no. go to the Ocoee in the south. It's an amazing river for whitewater. You get to West Virginia. West Virginia has amazing rivers. Three really world-class whitewater runs on the Cheat and the New and the Gully. Or you could go out west and do multi-day trips, you know, from the Grand Canyon to up to Idaho on the Salmon or the Snake. There's once you get into the world of whitewater, the opportunities are endless, right? So it's kind of like this niche environment that you might not know about until you dive in and get friends that, and then someone gets a permit. A lot of rivers are permitted, so you'll have a friend that gets a permit, and then you get to go with, and then you apply for a permit, and it kind of ricochets from there. Pretty soon, all your money and time is spent on rivers.
You catch the bug,
exactly,
right? The water bug.
Exactly. Yeah.
What is that first experience like for someone that hasn't done it? What should they expect? Because I know I've talked to some people that aren't, you know, the quote unquote thrill seekers, and like, oh, I'm not sure I'm ready for white water. I mean, what's it like for the first timers?
I would say most people are very pleasantly surprised. So if you're a first timer, first off, I would recommend going with a rafting company or with somebody that understands what they're doing. And you get out there, and I think people are just so in awe of the scenery and their connection to nature when they're there, that nervousness just goes away. You need to also make sure you're prepared. So a life jacket, for example, right? Don't go out on the first time, oh, this is a flat water river, I don't need a life jacket, right? Wear the life jacket, just wear it. It's not that big of a deal, just wear it. Make sure you have some basic safety precautions in place and then get out there and you will definitely surprise yourself, I think, on how much you like it and how much you just feel connected to the environment and to the world when you're just out on the river and the current is taking you where it wants to take you, and you can steer the raft or you can let it go, you know?
Let the raft steer you.
Let the raft steer you, yeah. Yeah.
And also sunscreen, right?
Yes, yes. Sunscreen, that's a big one. Sunscreen for sure. People always forget, but if you're sitting in a raft, the tops of your legs, put the sunscreen on the tops of your legs.
If you're standing and walking, you're not getting the direct 90-degree angle on those thighs.
Yes, you got to get it on the thighs. Sunscreen on thighs, a hat. I mean, just basics for people when they come rafting. We talk about hats, sunglasses, sunscreen. And then we give everyone, you know, a life jacket. And then we have guides that go along with to help with that, too.
But I'm sure you've seen your share of red thighs over the years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Even the guides sometimes. We hire a lot of people from 16 and up. And so sometimes you have those younger kids that are like, I don't need to wear sunscreen. And then they do need to wear sunscreen.
Usually boys.
Yes. You said it, not me.
Yeah, I was one. I know whereof I speak. So we were just talking about whitewater rafting. Let's talk about other ways that you can explore a river or stream. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned kayaking was some of your first experiences. How's kayaking maybe different than whitewater rafting?
So the thing about a kayak is you're in charge of your own fate in a kayak, right? So when you're in a raft, you're normally working alongside your friends or your family. There's a few of you paddling. So you have to learn to work as a team, which is a great team building activity. In a kayak, it's just you. So it gives you a lot more freedom to go explore behind this rock or over here because it's just you. You're just paddling your own boat. I do recommend if you're going to get into kayaking that you start on a lake or something like that where you can easily get back to the shore. There's different types of kayaks, right? So we have sit-atop kayaks where your legs are out, and if you fall out, you're just out of the boat. Or we have closed-deck kayaks where your feet are in the boat, and you wear a skirt if you're in whitewater so that the water doesn't also get into the boat. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will get into a closed-deck kayak and feel claustrophobic because your legs are in there and you can't just easily get out. So I definitely recommend if you're looking at getting into kayak, start on a sit-atop just to get the feel for it. And then as you move to a closed deck boat, really get comfortable on a lake or some flat water section where you can easily go back to shore before you try to go somewhere with a current or rapids.
Okay. And then canoeing is not entirely different, but somewhat.
Yeah,
different, right?
Pretty similar, but a little different. Canoes are very tippy. They're not really meant for you to get in and out of them. When you're in a canoe, you're meant to kind of stay in the canoe. So again, you want to make sure that you're starting somewhere with flat water. And then, but they do have whitewater canoes. I mean, there's the Lehigh Valley Canoe and Kayak Club that we see on the Lehigh sometimes, and they have whitewater canoes. Some of their people have whitewater canoes, and they have airbags in them, and they'll go down and take them down the rapids. So don't start there, but that could be your goal.
And also with kayaks and canoes, the paddles or oars are a bit different, right?
Yeah.
Typically?
Yes. So normally with rafts, we use single blades. And with a canoe, you often use a single blade. But okay. With a kayak, you're using a double blade, which means you just have blades on either side. Different equipment for different boat types.
And what does the double blade allow you to do that the single blade might not?
Yeah, so the double blade allows you to paddle on both sides of the boat. So I think it allows you to go a little quicker and get to spots a little easier because you have double the power, right, with two different blades. When you're in a canoe, a two-person canoe, then you have one person paddling on either side. So if you're in a two-person canoe, it's kind of the same thing. It's just with two people. Mm-hmm. If you've gotten into whitewater canoeing, then you have a single blade and it's just you. Most whitewater canoes are single person. I'm sure there's double whitewater canoes, but most that you see are just a single person. So that's more of an advanced sport if you're looking to get into it.
And then what sort of skills are required to successfully navigate with a canoe or a kayak?
Yeah, so the first thing, and at Pocono Whitewater, we teach a lot of people how to maneuver kayaks and how to get around. When we hire people, we don't require any experience. We just need you to know how to swim. And so we start at square one, and then we bring you from there as a river guide if you come work with us. So the main thing that we're always teaching people when they first start with us is just to get comfortable getting in and out of your boat, right? So if you get in a kayak, at some point, you are going to fall out of that kayak. You're going to flip it. You're going to hit a rock. You're going to end up in the river, the lake, whatever you're in. So when you're practicing or getting used to it, start there. Get out of the boat in the middle of the lake, right? And see, what do I do when I fall out of this boat? How do I get the boat to shore? How do I get back in the boat? Do I need to get the boat to shore? Can I get the water out of the boat here in the middle of this lake? Just use the time when you're not in a stressful situation to figure out how you handle what I would call your worst case scenario, right? Your paddle is 100 yards this way. Your boat is 50 yards this way. You're hanging out there in your life jacket wondering what to do. That's step one. Just get familiar with what happens then. After that, then you start working on your paddle strokes and how you can best maneuver the boat. There's all kinds of different techniques from ferrying across the water to pulling eddies and all kind of, it's a real hydrology lesson, right? To figure out how to maneuver the kayak. But then you can get into more advanced, which is rolling your kayak. So in order to really get into whitewater kayaking, you're going to want a closed deck boat with a skirt that covers your cockpit, and then you do what's called an Eskimo roll, and you flip your boat upside down, and you roll it right back up. So that's kind of what you're working towards, because like I said, you're gonna flip a kayak at some point, but if you can flip it and come right back up and keep going, you're golden, right? It's a lot easier. That takes some time. Again, it really comes down to your comfort level and then your comfort level underwater, right? So if you flip over, when we're teaching people how to kayak in closed deck boats, we're often doing this thing where we tell them, I want you to flip upside down and I want you to hang out there for 10 seconds. Count to 10. Just understand how long you can hold your breath and how long you can be under there and then try to roll up. And if you don't make it, we'll help you. We're there. We're next to you. But it just helps people to just get that comfort.
So we're going to take a short break here in Active Lehigh Valley. We are talking with Sierra Fogel from Pocono Whitewater. We'll be right back.
WDIY has been broadcasting in the Lehigh Valley and beyond for 30 years, providing news.
These planes were hijacked.
The Bethlehem Steel Corporation will end its steelmaking production in Bethlehem.
We hope that you enjoyed hearing from the Dalai Lama.
Local public affairs.
As I say, it's a race of interest.
What we're experiencing today will later on be studied.
And music.
My name is Janice Ian.
Our guest, Lake Street Dive.
In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Petey Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary.
WDIY, since 1995.
And welcome back to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network. I'm talking today with Sierra Fogel from Pocono Whitewater in Jim Thorpe. Sierra, welcome back.
Hi.
We were talking about kayaking and some of the skills that you learned over time. And how long does it take to acquire some of those skills?
It really varies by person to person. Some people get it right away and some people don't. And also, there's no rhyme or reason to it, right? You might be very athletic and you think you're going to pick up kayaking in, you know, a minute, and somehow being underwater or, you know, being in a closed boat just doesn't work for you. So it's really hard to say and to answer that question, but just the more you get in the boat, the more comfortable you'll be. So
Got it. How does one go about renting gear and then, you know, if you rent it and you like it, what available opportunities are there in the Lehigh Valley for buying or acquiring things?
Yeah, so I would recommend, if you're interested in getting started, to start at a lake. Go up to Beltsville or Mauchunk Lake or somewhere with a boat rental and just kind of try out some flatwater kayaks to see if you like it as a sport. From there, you can get into whitewater kayaking. There's Lehighton Outdoor Center in Lehighton that has a whitewater kayak license that sells whitewater kayaks. But I would recommend, if you're going to get into whitewater kayaking or that's your main goal, to try to find a community. So whether that's you come work with us at Pocono and you become a river guide, right, and you get a community there, or you go join the Lehigh Valley Canoe and Kayak Club, or you get on Facebook and try to find some friends, I would recommend trying to find a community where you can try out a lot of different boats before you buy one. Because boats come in a whole lot of different shapes, sizes, lengths. They have a lot of different specialties, from boats that are made to play in holes or waves to boats that are meant to go fast. So if you're really trying to get into whitewater kayaking, you want to try out a whole bunch of that stuff before you buy.
Okay. And then how about if you end up buying the things yourself and you're not on a tour or an excursion like you might do or one of the other outfitters might do? How do you determine where you put in, where you get out? I mean, there are dams in the valley and other places. I mean, there has to be a knowledge of the river that you're going on, or it could be dangerous.
Exactly. So I do not recommend just going out there on your own. Again, I recommend trying to always, first off, always go with somebody. Don't ever go alone. And then second off, try to find a community of people that know or have been there before. But a great resource to use is called American Whitewater. American Whitewater looks at gauges, often has pictures of the rapids, and it tells you what class each river is across the country. So it works in Pennsylvania, works in New York, works in Idaho, right? So it's a great website and resource to look at and research the body of water that you're thinking about going on before you go.
So that'd be equivalent to, I do a lot of hiking, all trails.
Exactly.
So it's like an all trails for rivers and
for
streams.
For waterways, yes.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
This show is Active Lehigh Valley. So how would you characterize whitewater rafting, canoeing, kayaking as an exercise? What's in it from a physical standpoint?
Yeah, so people automatically think I'm going to get an arm workout because you're paddling, right? But they often overlook the core. You get a really good core workout from boating in general. The best way to keep your boat, if you're in a kayak or a canoe or anything like that, the one thing that really helps is your posture. And your posture comes back to your core. So if you're paddling, you want to make sure you have good posture so that you are able to put all of your muscles into those paddle strokes, right? And think about maintaining that the whole time that you're out there. So you're coming back, if you've done it right, you're coming back with a really good core workout and arm workout.
Well, I don't think that's too dissimilar from a sport like golf, mm-hmm. where a lot of that power comes from the torque of your torso mm-hmm. more than from the strength of your arms.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, and people often don't think about that part. They're just like, you know, I'm just going to get my arms going here. But no, it's a lot of core. Yeah.
And then also, I think also with in terms of balance,
yes.
the lower part of your torso and even your legs to some extent, you'd think, well, the legs aren't, they're kind of below, they're kind of hidden down there, but not.
No, they're not. They really play a part, especially if you're in a raft or an open kayak. Your legs are often the way that you stay in the boat. So you're tucking your feet under, you're using them for leverage. You know, that's kind of your safety net, your legs. We always tell people when they're getting in a raft to tuck their feet under the tubes of the raft. And that if you hit a rock or something, that's what's going to keep you in the boat.
Right.
So there's also a lot of legs involved in the sport.
Well, and for people that maybe don't want that type of workout, there's also tubing, right?
Yes, there is. Yes.
Which let's not, it's being outside. It's still a good thing.
It is. It's still a good thing. You can get on a tube and you can go down, and people do tube the Lehigh as well. I do really recommend wearing a life jacket, even if you're just out there with your friends tubing, because water levels change, right? So the other thing I'd recommend is if you're getting into the sport is learn how to look at the water levels. If you saw a river one day and you thought, oh, I can tube that day maybe. But if we had a lot of rain, or if the dam had rain, even if we didn't have it in the Lehigh Valley, but the dam had rain up north, they could be dumping a lot of water. And all of a sudden, that small little stream you're looking at is now a raging stream. So I do recommend anytime you're going to get on a waterway of any kind, you try to do some research and figure out, is this dam controlled? Is there something happening with the dam? Is there water coming out of it? Or a big question to ask yourself is, what happened upstream? Right? Because everything upstream's coming down. So just pay attention to what happened upstream when you're looking at rivers.
Well, there are times too, you might have a thunderstorms kind of training that might be 30 miles north of us.
Exactly.
And that water's going to be down in a couple hours, maybe half a day after the runoff.
Yes.
And we might not have any rain down here in the Lehigh Valley, but boy, if they had it up in Carbon County, we're going to get it.
Yeah. And if it's raining really hard down here in the Lehigh Valley, that the Francis E. Walter Dam often will hold the water so we don't flood down here, right? So that rain may have stopped and all of that natural flow has gone away and you're looking at the river like, oh, it's back to normal. Well, now that it's back to normal, the dam says, great, now I can dump all this extra water. So now you've got another rush of water coming down. So just for safety purposes, it's best to learn how to look at the gauges on rivers and to pay attention to water levels.
And what are some of the biggest mistakes you've seen people make on the water?
Not wearing a life jacket. Always wear your life jacket. Did I say that yet?
A couple times, yeah. I think we're going to take a picture with a life jacket on too, right?
There we go, yes. I would say they overextend. So, for example, if you're going to come do the Lehigh, I would recommend starting with Section 3, which you can put in Jim Thorpe or Lehigh Inn and go south. That's a Class 1-2 section. The rapids are there, but more mellow. And then if you do well there, if you succeed on that section, then you can jump up and do the Lehigh Gorge section, a Class 3, where you put in at Whitehaven or Rockport. But when I'm out there on the river, we often see private boaters that try to take a wreck boat, which would be an open cockpit boat or a boat that's made for a lake, on Section 3. And it doesn't always end well, right? I mean, I've seen those boats in trees and the people that were supposed to be in them standing on the bike trail going, how do I get out of here, right? So don't jump in head first. Start slow. Work your way up, especially when you're talking about something like the Lehigh where you're in the state park and there's very little access, cell reception, all of that. Just keep all those things in mind. If you're going to go out, have a plan, right? If something happens, how am I going to get word to get help if my boat is wrapped around a tree, right? Just have an emergency plan.
Right. And in terms of overextending too, I think if you're looking at an excursion, get the recommendation about how many hours it's going to be, because miles, there's no, you're used to driving in a car, like a mile on the waterway, so much different,
exactly.
Right? Or even on a trail.
Yeah. I mean, 12 miles in the Lehigh Gorge State Park takes us on average like 4 hours,
right?
So it's going to be a long day out there. It's a beautiful, amazing day, but you know, have lunch, bring water, you know, don't go out there with just you and your bathing suit and expect to be out for an hour.
So what do you see and experience from the water that you don't get on land?
Man, it's just a whole different perspective. My favorite way to explore the world, and I love to travel, but there is nothing better than seeing the world from the river. Rivers go places that cars don't go, right, that trains don't go, that are hard to get to, that have huge cliffs on either side, that have bald eagles flying overhead. I mean, you can just see the world so differently from the turns and the bends in a river that there's no, I have not been able to find another experience like it that allows you to see the world that way. To me, it's just a really magical experience to let the current take you and look around at your own backyard. I mean, this is our backyard, whether you're here or you're somewhere else, and just see the world that way.
And you see it in a way that until you've been on it, you haven't really seen it that way before.
Mm-hmm. It's eye-opening. I mean, we have so many guests that come to us at Pocono Whitewater that say, man, that was amazing. That exceeded my expectations. Not because we did anything, right? Our job's easy. We give you the raft. Let's make it happen, right? But because they got to see this gorge and they got to see this incredible scenery and they just got to, you know, get out of the city and see what's available in Pennsylvania.
And we have certainly people from the Lehigh Valley coming up to Pocono Whitewater, but I'm sure you draw people in from Jersey, New York, and you said the city, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of our guests that come from New Jersey, Philadelphia, New York City, a lot from New York City. And actually, one of my favorite things is we do a lot of school groups. And sometimes these school groups are coming from, you know, the Bronx or Brooklyn, inner city school groups with kids that have not really left the city. And we bring them out, and we put them in nature, and we get the question a lot, like, are there bears? Are the bears going to attack me? You know, like there are bears, but you're going to be okay, right? Like the chance of a bear swimming across the water and getting you in your boat is very slim, right? So we definitely have to get over some of that fear with a lot of our guests. But to see people experience a river like that, it can be life-changing.
And at the top, we said this is an activity for all ages. There are pictures of you in a yeah. kayak at two and everything, yeah. and maybe your own kids yes. being out there. I mean, realistically, how early can you get kids out on the water? And on the other end, how late in life can you be out on the water?
Yeah, so we run our family style trips for ages 4 and up, and we have taken people out on the river. We actually had a woman that came a few years back that had a bucket list with 3 things on it, and one of them was to go whitewater rafting. And she was, I believe, 95. So we took her out. We did make some extra safety precautions for someone of that age, right? We gave her a guide and her raft, and we kind of did a little differently. But it is really something that you can do at any age, as long as you do your background work and make sure you know what you're doing out there.
Right. And you mentioned guides that work for you. Mm-hmm. How does one become a guide?
Yeah. So come on up. We're hiring now. So come on up. No experience necessary. We'll teach you everything you need to know. What we're looking for is you need to know how to swim. So make sure you know how to swim.
Just in general.
Just in general, yes. And we're looking for people with the right attitude, right? So we do 5 days of on-the-water training. We don't do interviews because what we found is I could talk to you for 3 hours on land and it could sound great. But then we put you on the water and all of a sudden it's not great. So what we do is for our first day of training, we put you on the water right away with a trainee. You're in a raft and we just take you down the Lehigh and we see how you react to the water and you see how we run and we go from there. So we bring you up, get you on the water, and then from there, we talk you through all the different safety things, teach you all of the different rapids and how to be a Lehigh River guide. And we have very flexible scheduling. So if you have a full-time job and you're looking for just to get to know this community, you can come up, you can train with us, you can become a guide. And if you work 4 times a year, we'll still take you.
That's great.
Right? I have doctors, we have teachers, we have principals, we have and then we have a lot of students and younger kids on the staff. And it really works because when you're on a trip, we like to have a variety of ages and experiences of guides. So, you know, you might have a 16-year-old kid and then you might have a principal on his summer break, right? Like your guides come from all different backgrounds and it makes for a really interesting community.
That's great. Sierra, how can people find out more about Pocono Whitewater online? Yeah. What resources do you have, social and
yep.
website?
Yep, go to PoconoWhitewater.com, Pocono Whitewater Rafting on Facebook, Instagram, and you can always give us a call. We have a full call center that's manned 24/7, 365 days a year. So give us a call and 570-325-8430. If you like the phone, we're happy to answer any of your questions.
That's great. Sierra, thanks for joining us here and sharing your knowledge of and passion of being on the water here in PA.
Yeah, it's always nice talking to you.
And again, we thank our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network who encourage us to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is Active Lehigh Valley.